Hi everybody, welcome to Experience Kills. I'm Richard, I'm here with Ben.
Hello.
Would you like to talk about a game called Killing Floor, Ben?
Killing Moon. No, Floor. Sorry.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that. Right, Killing Floor. We're not actually going to talk about Killing Floor per se, because we've got the sequel to talk about, which I appreciate is not exactly a new game, but it's just come out as a bundle with its VR companion, Killing Floor Incursion. So I've been playing a bit of both of them. As it's a bundle, we'll talk about both of those games here. So Killing Floor 2, we'll talk about first, I think, because you've had a go of that previously,
yeah,
haven't you, when it first came out? And that's,
yes,
like a horde shooter. It's very much like the zombies mode in the Call of Duty franchise, but a standalone version of that. And it's set, well, it's got various settings. The levels I've played are sort of your hokey, sort of shambling zombie levels in dark forests and shit like that. There was a Christmas level I played, which is interesting, with the shambling gingerbread men and Santa costumes and all that sort of jazz. So it keeps the visual style varied and interesting and fun. Not so sure how I feel about the game. It does feel a little bit ramshackle. My first impression of the melee combat was that I wasn't quite sure what sort of impact I was having on enemies that sort of congregated around me and got into their attack animations. I didn't seem to be able to make them flinch out of that until they dropped down dead. So it all just feels a little bit separated. You know, you don't feel connected with the action necessarily. But there is a fair amount of content in there. Was that your impression? What did you think?
I felt like I do not like Call of Duty Zombies modes for the most part. I find them the mode in those games that I will basically ignore. But I think Killing Floor does it better. And you'd expect that because it's a standalone experience for them to focus on. But yeah, I'm trying to go back a while here on this. But yeah, I did enjoy it. You know, I found myself thinking, oh, there's some challenge here. You ramp the difficulty up, you know, you go up to four player co-op, you know, you get your friends involved.
Yeah.
And I much preferred the sort of the level design and the, like you said, the variety in the levels and in the enemies made it, you know, much more replayable. I actually quite liked the sort of the weapon economy systems and the different power-ups and things like that you can get as well throughout the levels. And like those Call of Duty Zombies levels, there are sort of secrets, aren't there, and things to discover and unlock as you progress.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing, that the other players, who obviously more accomplished than I, they knew exactly where to go. There are secrets in the levels, and you could see that they were triggering things off that I hadn't spotted. So it appears that there's quite a lot of replay value in this, as there is for the Zombies mode in Call of Duty. I've played a bit of that. Like you, I'm not particularly enamored with it, but I can see the appeal. It's quite good fun to learn the lay of the land and find out what is possible in that environment and just trigger off the secret bits and sort of level up your character and progress a little bit further next time is the feel. There's always a sense that you can just do a bit better if you just learn the lessons from the last time. I didn't do particularly well in the games that I've had, but then I am going into this quite new, and it's clear that having been out a while, there are established players on there. So coming to it this late, you'll probably you'll find that there's good enough teams. I didn't have a problem getting a game still. There's good enough teams online that you can just dip in and sort of be carried through the game. And I enjoyed it for what it was. But yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, there are other games like this, so whether it stands out enough, I'm not sure. Like I said earlier, I think the mechanics of it feel a little bit too loose, clunky and cumbersome for it to be really enjoyable. And some of the decisions that the game makes for you are odd as well. So you can go to upgrade stations, which is typical for this genre, and buy new guns or melee weapons. It does offer the option of automatic upgrades if you can't be bothered to scroll through all the menus and choose what you want to buy, and the decisions it makes there are really strange. So halfway through a mission, I had a pretty meaty sort of machine gun, and went for an automatic upgrade, and it just ended up giving me a hammer, so I died pretty quickly after that. And yeah, didn't work for me, that, but never mind. So yeah, not too sure about it. It's fun enough, but I'm not sure that I would want to go back too frequently to it.
I tell you what, though, I really want to hear about the VR implementation in Incursion and how that stands up against the other game. Yeah, two.
Yeah, so Killing Floor Incursion is the VR companion. It's not really the same game. I mean, it shares a lot of the assets, obviously, so you've still got the same zombie figures and the same sort of environments. The structure of it is different. So you've got two modes in Incursion. One is a story mode, in which you're led through, I think, four different environments. I'm only halfway through them. But there's different environments with puzzles involved. So the first one involves a forest, a haunted looking house halfway through this forest, and then items that you've got to pick up within that house to solve a puzzle and open progress to the end of the mission, right? So that's essentially the structure of that. You can move around in VR. Obviously you can't walk in the sense of a traditional FPS, but you have a cursor that you could, if you hold it, this is exclusively controlled with the Move controllers. If you hold down one of the buttons on the Move controller, that will show you a cursor off in the distance or wherever you point it to where you can teleport to, and then you can just teleport to that spot, and that's how you move around in this game. So it feels a bit weird. That is limited as well, just so you can't teleport instantly out of any danger. It does limit how much you can move, so once you've moved a couple of times, it will then restrict how far you can teleport again until you've waited a few seconds, and then your distance builds up again. So it does restrict how far you can go and keeps the sort of threat level high when enemies start to build up and corner you. Again, in this, it doesn't feel like you're connecting all that well, and that's when you're attacking, either with melee attacks or with guns, and that's more pronounced in this environment because you're having to manually aim with a Move controller, which isn't entirely accurate, and it does feel like there's some randomization of where the bullets are flying off, because you can hold it pretty steady and the bullets would randomly bounce around not quite where you're aiming them. So I don't know if that's a technical issue or it's just by design that there's a sort of random factor in how accurate your bullets are, but it feels clunky.
Never loved the idea of bullets not going where you're aiming. That just sounds frustrating,
particularly in VR. That it really is annoying. I'm not sure why they've made the decision to make it Move controller only. I mean, to the point that it doesn't even allow you to use the aim controller, the dedicated gun controller for PlayStation VR.
Does it predate that?
I think it was February. Is it February the last year it came out?
Or is it this year? Might do then. It might predate the Move controller sort of proper support then.
I don't know. I mean, there are other games that patched it in, I think. So it's surprising for a game that pitches itself as trying to fill a gap in the FPS space for VR that it doesn't include that support. Really odd. So what you're left with is a situation where you can use Move controllers for pistols in each hand. That sort of works okay. When it comes to holding a rifle, you've got to simulate holding the rifle with two hands, but they're in separate controllers that aren't connected in any way. So when you're trying to aim with that really does sort of go a bit crazy and starts spraying all over the place, because it doesn't pick up your controllers properly with one behind the other, if you see what I mean, because that's the natural way that you would hold them. So that
limitations of the hardware there, isn't it? Limitations of how the camera detects the Move controllers as well.
Yeah. And some other issues with the controllers as well. It's got quite a smart system of inventory, where if you're using knives, you can put them in sheaths on your back, and that does feel cool. So you can sort of reach behind your back and pull knives out, or put them back in and either stab people with them or chuck them around. That's pretty good. You've got a torch on your chest, so you can pull it off your chest to either cast light or look for secret clues. You've got like a ultraviolet light mode on your torch, and then you've got a holster, a gun holster on your right hip, which sounds great. So you can holster your gun, unholster it just by reaching down and plucking it out of the holster. However, because there's no body tracking in PlayStation VR, you look down to your right to see the holster, and the holster moves away from you because your body's position is tracked by where your head is going. So you're constantly sort of spinning around trying to get a good view of your holster so you can put your gun back in it. And it's
sounds
always,
so funny.
It's so annoying. And it's just always moving away. It's just always slightly out of reach.
And so, oh, it's like tormenting you.
I know. So more often than not, I would drop my gun on the floor, have to go pick it up, try and holster it again, and you just think, is it worth even bothering holstering it? I'll just leave it on the floor for a minute. And it's really, really frustrating, particularly when the whole idea of the game is to manage time effectively, keep trimming down the enemies so they don't overcrowd you. You can't afford those lost seconds when you're messing around with body holsters that you can't see. So frustrating elements in the technical design that could have been done a bit better by just moving the holster around to more of a clear position on the body. Yeah, I just think, again, if the main killing floor game is clunky as it is, this adds more clunkiness to it. It is a significantly different game as well, though. So as I say, I've mainly played the story mode. There's a separate mode, what's it, I forgot what it's called. I think it's like a sort of horde mode, and it's essentially the same. So you've got the same sort of settings, and enemies will just keep coming at you until you die, and you've just got to keep darting, teleporting around the environment to what is currently the safest spot, take up position, spin around and shoot whatever's coming at you. And there are random pickups on the floor, so health pickups, bullets, grenades are quite fun. So you can pick up a grenade, pull the pin out with the other hand, if you can holster your gun with out of that hand first, which is annoying. So holster your gun, pull the pin out, and then chuck it with the other hand. That's pretty cool. But yeah, it just feels not quite accomplished enough for it to get any rhythm. You can't get a rhythm going with the combat. It just feels like you're fighting the systems of control all of the time. But it is quite cool to be in. There are moments of tension there. So when you see enemies like crowding around you, and suddenly there's one behind you that you hadn't quite clocked, and you turn around to see how close it is, there are moments of terror there. VR is really good for that. That's not an experience that you would get on a TV screen. But, you know, that's VR, isn't it? I don't want to give the game too many props for that.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
I'm going to ask you if you think this double pack is good value at $32.99.
I think it would depend on how much you're going to get out of Killing Floor 2. There's enough in there that you would get sort of 16 quid's worth of value, that being half of the cost of the package. I personally wouldn't play it for that long, but there's clearly people still playing it, and it's accomplished enough that you would get something out of it. You've got the hook of constantly leveling it up, and there's new content. They've added more content since it's been released, so I can see that there's an extra couple of packs of like trophies for post-launch content that's been added since. So yeah, it sounds like it's a living experience. There is still stuff going on with Killing Floor 2. The incursion side of it for VR, it's a nice sort of distraction, and it's interesting to see the FPS genre done a little bit differently with VR. But it is a really missed opportunity with it not having aim support and with it being so clunky. So yeah, it's interesting to try out. I'm not sure I'd want to spend too much money on it though.
Well, fair enough. Do you think have we reached the end of our little Killing Floor double feature, as it's called, on the PlayStation Store?
Can we kill it off now? Yeah, let's see, we did kill there. The conversation on the floor.
It's lying there dead, bleeding out from its horrible, horrible neck wound because you missed the headshot due to the poor move control tracking.
That's it. So. Right, so thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be talking about more games soon. Speak to you soon, guys. You can find us on Experience Kills on Twitter. I'm on Colonel Red. Ben, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at DIYE.
And that's us. So look us up, follow us, share our videos and stuff. Do
subscribe
all of that.
Us.
Subscribe and all the stuff that you say at the end of podcasts and things like that.
Tickle Richard.
Hey?
I'm sure that's a social media thing. Send Richard a tickle. If it isn't, it should be.
Yeah, poke me.
Give him a good poking. He loves that.
Yeah, please.
See you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.